people bitch about the prequels, but everyone saw them because they were Star Wars, and like, let's try this new Star Wars out. Maybe it's good. You may hate them and never return to them.
Let's try spinning. That's a good trick.
Oh God.
This is better. Turn off the autopilot before you get us both killed.
Oh,
wizard.
Man.
No, this is pod racing. Everywhere. I just can't, like, even when you watch like the behind the scenes, like, casting of Jake Lloyd, like his like auditions, I just can't fathom Lucas sitting behind a table going like, that's the one.
That his guy.
His auditions are atrocious too. I mean, he's a little kid, so it's probably going to be, but
yeah, Connector's the worst. Yeah. They need to be put down.
No way. My son is in a movie called Nonstop 2 Comic Con, and he is amazing.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
This is the most important thing in the universe. What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast.
Hi!
Hey! Justin's over there saying hi. I got Randy on the other end, too, and I'm David. So, Justin, how are you, Justin?
Fabulous! Thank you, David, for saying Randy. My name twice, David.
Randy, how are you doing, Randy?
There's no way I can match that enthusiasm, but I'm great, thanks.
I feel like a little downer now that you're not as excited as Justin.
Oh, man, I had the monster drinks.
He had the cocaine.
Taste the beast. Yes.
He took the cocaine suppository.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Works out good. I was watching, come out my nose.
I was watching a Periscope the other day, and the title was, "We're Trying Cocaine."
Oh, man.
And I'm like, well, I got to get it on this.
That is awesome.
I watched it for like 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Was there a Coke cam?
No, it was. But they had like the full-on little like Coke tool, the little like, looks like one end of a tweezer. They were going to town.
One end of a tweezer? Don't you just use like a razor blade?
No, like, you know how they like scoop it up?
It's oh,
like,
yeah. I thought they had like that gross-ass big nail.
Some people have Coke.
Well, yeah, you could do that too.
They were rookies, though. I don't think they'd grown the Coke nail. They didn't plan this out like 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Losers.
You gotta grow that shit out.
Or you can get one of those crazy ones like from Chinatown. They have like those crazy brass ones.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of blow, did you guys see Tomorrowland at all?
Why is it called blow when you're sucking it in? Is that just code?
I think it's
like
code.
If we give it the opposite name, no one's going to figure it out.
Kind of like they call you Tiny because you got a large penis.
Yeah, it's like ironic. Irony there.
They call him Randy the Meat Van Dyke.
Ooh.
It's an ironic nickname.
I like it.
For the record, nobody calls me that.
I do.
We do now.
Yeah.
So, Meat, did you see Tomorrowland?
I did not, no.
Oh, man. What about you, Tiny? Did you see Tomorrowland?
No, I did not. And I know that you have been looking forward to this movie since you came out of your mother, and it did not live up to your expectations. You thought this was going to be the greatest movie ever. You loved the trailer. You're like, oh, my God. It's so cool. And then I see like a C- your review.
Yeah, and I think I was a little nice. It probably should have been a D+, but it was pretty bad. And I love Brad Bird. He's the guy who directed The Incredibles. He directed Iron Giant. He directed Ratatouille. He directed Ghost Protocol. And he's very character centric. And he's got an amazing eye for like pacing in a movie. Like all of his movies are plotted out amazingly. And
really,
like,
I think Incredibles gets a little slow.
Really?
I mean, I like the movie, but the second time they go back to the island, I'm just kind of like, I'm bored.
Yeah. Well, with the exception of Incredibles, then. but this movie was just a mess. It was, at its heart, it was trying to be like this generation's Flight of the Navigator. Okay. Those like kids' movies that like everyone loved, or like Explorers, or maybe even to a smaller extent, Goonies.
You're tugging at my heartstrings.
Whose phone
here.
Is going
Not
on?
Not mine.
Not mine, Randy.
It might be mine. There's nothing I can do about it.
You can't turn off the vibrate.
You can take it off the wood table.
Yeah, put it on.
It's in my hand. I'm holding it in my hand next to my mouth because that is literally what I'm using to Skype right now.
You don't have headphones?
Not ones that don't make it sound like I'm underwater.
Oh.
Well, tell your boyfriends who'll get back to him. So Tomorrowland was trying to be like this cool family film. And it's 2 hours and 10 minutes long. and that's a bit long for kids, I think. I don't think my kids would want to sit through 2 hours and 10 minutes of Tomorrowland. And, yeah, so I think for those reasons, you guys haven't seen it. Not much to talk about, but, yeah, it was just poorly paced. You know, George Clooney doesn't show up till like, the hour mark.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
In this little house where it like, gets invaded, and I saw some video where the girl comes to his house, and he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And then these agents come or something, and they destroy his house.
Yeah, so the basic premise is that George Clooney's character, Frank, was a little kid, and he was a boy genius, and so he was part of the group that built Tomorrowland, basically.
So it's a real place.
It's a real physical place. It's like a pocket universe. And so their goal was that they wanted to create this utopia and then bring everybody over. Like, hey, look, we built this amazing world. And the Tomorrowland looked pretty cool, and it was kind of cool. You'd always see, like, Space Mountain in the background. So, you know, you got that, like, iconic little structure that Space Mountain is. And so
were two assholes cool. Always climbing it?
That's the Matterhorn.
Oh, yeah.
But
same thing.
same difference, right?
And Tomorrowland, did they have an arcade? A two-story arcade?
No Starcade there.
What a piece of shit town.
I mean, maybe it was there. It just wasn't the focus of stuff. Oh. But so basically, George Clooney's character gets banished because, you know, for reasons we don't really ever be, we're never explained. We understand. We kind of get the idea of what it is.
What is it?
He's gay. He kind of falls in love with a robot.
Oh, you can't like do that.
No, they don't. They frown upon that.
Yeah. They don't serve their kind.
It is frowned. And so he's banished to Earth. And because the main character of the film, Casey, comes knocking on his door, they've determined that he's what's the word I'm looking for. He's done something bad against the terms of his probation.
Oh, that sucks.
There's a word for it. It's escaping me. Like he's violated the terms of his probation. Yeah, there you go. He's violated the terms of his probation, and now they're basically coming to kill him, and he's got to, like, dismantle him.
Oh, it's his own people coming to kill him?
Yeah, it's bad dudes.
What the fuck? Now, is he falling in love with a robot? Is that the movie's way of saying that science geeks are just antisocials and can't fall in love with real people?
No, so he goes to Tomorrowland as a kid, and the robot in question he falls in love with is, spoiler alert, looks like a kid. But it's never.
Oh, he's a pedophile.
It's never. Well, he's 9, and she looks like she's like 9 or 10, and so it's never established that she is a robot. But as he starts to get older and she doesn't, he starts to kind of figure it out. But she never openly really admits it to him, and so that's kind of why he's a grumpy old man. One of the better scenes in the movie is the first time that Casey comes to show him the pin, like, hey. And so she goes in his thing. It's this shot in the trailer where she puts the pin up. I want to go back here. He basically hits a button and, like, sends this, like, sonic shock and, like, knocks her out.
Oh, wow.
He's not a nice guy. But yeah, I mean, I think if it were 40 minutes shorter, it would have been an enjoyable movie.
And they could have crammed it? They could have cut it in a way to make it 40 minutes?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, because there's so many, like, chases. So, like, there's the opening where they set up Casey as the antagonist or the protagonist, where, you know, she's like, oh, I want to save the world, and no one seems to care. And then
Tomorrowland or Tomorrowland or the actual Earth?
The actual world, because, you know, we got global warming and all that nonsense. The message that is beat over your head a lot in this movie, like, hey, we can't be resigned to our fate. We got to fix it.
Why can't we all go to Tomorrowland?
That's what she's trying to do. And then you have the portion of the film where she's trying to find where this pin goes. You have the portion of the film where she sees Tomorrowland for the first time. Then you have like a road trip movie to find George Clooney. Then you have a road trip movie for Clooney and gang to get to Tomorrowland. Then you have part of the movie where they're trying to save Tomorrowland, and then credits.
Why is Tomorrowland in trouble?
Just because it is.
Well, what's hurting it?
Basically,
isn't Earth the only one that's affected by global?
Bad people. It's got a very convoluted story. Hugh Laurie plays the villain. He plays Governor Nix, and so basically, we find out George Clooney created this thing called the Monitor, and it can kind of see the future. It can see the future. And so he sees that the world's going to end in some cataclysmic event because we're not taking care of our planet. And so they've been sending signals to Earth telling us, you know, like, you know, that's why all the news is about, like, global warming and, like, you know, rainforest degradation, everything going to shit. It's their way of trying to, like, spur us into it. But instead of spurring us to action, it's just made us complacent. Like, we're like, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. And we've all, like, resigned ourselves to our fate. And so they're going to close Tomorrowland permanently. So there's no way for anyone on our side to get in. and the world is going to end in like 60 days. So double fuck you.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Confused yet?
It sounds amazing.
You should see it. You'll probably love it.
I doubt it.
Do you love 2 hours and 10 minutes of kid actors?
No. Quite the opposite. That's what I thought. I need to be loud. I need the old razzle dazzle when it comes to movies. And I think this is going to sound ridiculous, but after watching Mad Max, that's what I want from my movies now. I don't want any backstory. I just want to be thrown in the adventure, and that's all there is to it.
Right. You don't need to be insulted with exposition.
And that's okay, right? Like, coming with age? Is that because I'm just, my tastes have changed? What do you think that is?
It's because George Miller didn't beat it over your head. He realized that the audience that was going to see this movie was smart enough to realize that Mad Max has been through some shit. It's molded him into the person he is, but you don't need to see that. That Furiosa is all, you know, everything you need to know about her when he asks her why she's doing this, and she says redemption. Obviously, she's done bad shit in the past. She's trying to make up for it. All the wives have different, like, motivations. Some are scared. Some are aggressive. Some are good at shooting stuff. And George Miller is letting us fall into his world towards something like Age of Ultron or something like Tomorrowland, you know, something, you know, insert, even like something like Furious 7, you know, insert action movie here. They have to explain everything to the audience because they think we're all stupid.
Mm-hmm. Idiots.
There's a shot in Tomorrowland that really encapsulates this. When the first time Casey goes to George Clooney's house, Frank's house, there's a dog that comes to attack, like a guard dog, who runs out and he's at the end of his chain, and then Casey looks down and sees like his paws aren't making indentations into the sand, and then she looks at her feet where the sand is all messed up from hers, and so we instantly can infer that this is a hologram, or she can like rub her hand through its face and like say, oh, it's a hologram, but she has to like explain it, like why aren't your feet making indentations and what's going on, and so it's just over explaining things. I'm sorry, I feel like I've talked a lot. Randy, what do you think?
He died.
I'm sorry, was muted. I have no opinion whatsoever. Couldn't care less.
Oh.
On audiences being explained stuff? You don't care about Justin's feelings?
No, about Tomorrowland in general. I'll watch it eventually.
We weren't talking about Tomorrowland.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Justin was talking about filmmakers having to overly explain. Mm-hmm. He was saying he loved.
You were talking about shit in Tomorrowland, weren't you? About holograms and over explaining
about holograms.
Wow. Everybody knows what holograms are.
Oh, hey, Amanda! Yay! Welcome.
Yay! Long time no talk.
Yay!
See, we did murder her and put her in our trunks.
No. Wait, say the date.
It's Memorial Day.
Perfect.
This is the audio equivalent of taking a picture with a newspaper.
It's
proof of life.
25th.
There you go. 10:05 p.m. PST.
USD. As of this moment, I am still alive.
Yay! And we're happy for that.
Well, that's good. Yes. Well, now that you're here, we could talk about Game of Thrones.
What the what?
Are you all caught up?
I am, yes.
How many times did you fall asleep?
When it got to the end, I was definitely like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's all?
Shit show that turned out to be.
Though, I mean, I'm kind of excited that they, like, fast-tracked Tyrion getting to Daenerys, so.
Yeah, that was good.
That part was good, but the rest of it was like, as you would say, boring.
Boring.
I thought they were going to kill Sam.
Who? Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, is this the death we're promised?
Right. Poor Mr. Targaryen there.
Oh, my God.
That's Randy. His gay sex channel's blowing
Randy,
up.
Randy, put it on Do Not Disturb.
Nah, hold on.
He likes to be disturbed.
So it doesn't vibrate.
He's getting poked like a son of a bitch over there. I don't even know what that means. On Facebook, when someone pokes me, does that mean they want to say hi?
They want to fight you. They're like, hey, you.
Bunch of instigators.
I don't like the cut of your jib.
It's like they're poking you in the chest.
Oh, okay, fucker.
Yeah. And I'm already tired of these swallows and these holier-than-thou assholes.
Yeah.
I'm already bored of them. I already hate them. Like, yeah. I already want bad things to happen to them.
I know. Joffrey would have cut them down in a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
Where's our Joffrey?
He's called Ramsay Bolton. He's in the north.
Oh yeah, what a fucker. God. He's a lying piece of shit. He told Littlefinger that he would never hurt her, and then you show the first scene she's in, she's got bruises all over her body. She's got it rough.
Littlefinger's gonna be pissed.
Yeah. I hope Ramsay gets it good, man. And I'm worried that he's just gonna either not die or die too quickly. Does that make sense? Like, well, no one ever gets their justice on this show. It's one of those the good die young type of shows.
Yeah.
Joffrey did.
Well, he just choked. That could happen to anybody.
It looked painful.
Yeah, I guess.
The hound probably got what he had coming. He probably died slowly and painfully.
Do you think he died?
I hope not.
Yeah, he might not be dead.
Mm. You don't see a body in game.
Yeah, we didn't see him die.
If he was alive the last time we saw him, he ain't dead.
No.
How badass would it be if
right.
Littlefinger
comes in riding on the hound?
Revenge on Ramsay.
I think he should be. I think Littlefinger should be on the hound's shoulders and go riding into town. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Man. All right. So
he's going to be really mad when he finds out what Ramsay did to Sansa. Yeah.
Let's do some bullet points here. So the wall. Jon Snow left, and freaking Samwell Tarly's getting bullied, and Mr. Targaryen died, and that's about it, right? That's
everything. Sam has the sexo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah! Forgot about that.
That was off book. That was off book, right?
No, well, they never did it
in the book.
Yeah, they have it. It's sexo on. Don't they have the sexo on the ship? And then again, when they land in Braavos.
Mm. Oh, I thought they didn't, because he wanted to. Because he was like, I have to maintain my oath.
Oh, I thought they did.
I don't remember. He turned it down. Yeah, I could be totally wrong. Book
well, they definitely got in a fight because he was being standoffish, and she was like, "Well, don't you like me?"
Hmm.
I do remember them getting in a fight about that because she was like trying to get with him. And he's like, no, my oath.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam will be the new king of King's Land.
No.
What?
No, I don't know.
He's just talking crazy.
No.
He doesn't even know what he's saying. what else happened? Okay, then Sansa, she talks to Mr. freaking Than Greyjoy. She says, hey. You owe me. Yeah.
You owe me, bitch.
Exactly.
Get me out of here.
You owe me your Thane Greyjoy of, you know, the last son of
Balin
Greyjoy. This is you, man. This is your time to shine. And what does he do? He tells Ramsay everything.
Like a little bitch.
Yes, he is a POS. And I think we just had a conversation the other day about does he have any redeemable qualities about him? And he had a chance, and now...
And he blew it.
He blew it. And even let's just fast forward, let's say, 2 seasons, and he finds some way of saving the day. Are we really going to give a shit? Aren't we like, well, now you come to the rescue?
Only if he sacrifices his... The only small redemptive act he could do would be to, if what he does saves somebody but costs him his life. And he can be like,
yeah,
that's the only thing. And then even then... You know, he's still done some pretty heinous stuff.
I agree.
Like, if Rick and Bran show up, and they're about to be killed, and then he saves the day.
Yeah, the only way he redeems himself is if he dies to save somebody else. He's too despicable at this point.
Yeah. What about Mormont going all Russell Crowe on the Gladiator Pit?
and he didn't kill
that
him.
That was cool.
Punched him.
Yeah,
he
did it without killing, because he knew Daenerys wouldn't want him to do that.
Yeah, he had the wow factor.
She didn't look too pleased to see him.
She was all into it until she found out who it was behind the mask.
Like, it was like the opposite of that scene from Revenge of the Nerds.
Right. She was like, get this piece of shit out of my sight. That's a shame.
What scene in Revenge of the Nerds are we talking about?
The rape scene. Where Lewis is dressed up like that.
Oh, okay.
It's like she's all into it when the helmet is on, But in Revenge of the Nerds, she was even more into it when he took his helmet off. But that was not the case in Game of Thrones last night.
Oh no. Plus, he's got grayscale.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That's so like, pretty much, he is pretty much killing everybody in the ring, because anyone he touches in the arena is going to die.
Isn't he, like, super contagious? What the fuck is he doing?
It's like Targaryen AIDS.
It's worse, though, because all you have to do is touch.
Yeah. It's like the toilet seat.
Yeah. There's a toilet seat. All on that.
Yeah. He just starts coughing on all the gladiators. That'd be kind of funny.
So how do you think the wall is going to play out? Since, you know, it hasn't played out in the book, so we're all speculating right now. Winterfell. How do you see Winterfell playing out with Stannis, with, you know, the Red Boltons, with Littlefinger?
Oh man, I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I don't think Stannis is going to make it, and I think Winterfell is going
to
stay on lockdown.
I think Stannis will still make it. Probably Brienne will join him, or she'll somehow get an in on Winterfell, despite the fact that, you know, Sansa's, you know, means of escape is has been compromised.
I was gonna say, do you think Brienne will be there and like she'll be behind Roose Bolton and say, like, Catelyn Stark sends her regards and, like, slit his throat?
Yeah, something like that. Brienne's just, like, camping out nearby, so she's gonna somehow play into it. And then... what was I thinking? I feel like Asha has to come back somehow. Because why would they bother introducing her if they're not gonna use her now?
Right, she's not showing. I thought she was going to show up on next week's
next preview. Time on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and no Staki. Because I thought I remember her and her crew of merry men.
Yeah, at the end of some season, they're all getting on ships and shit.
Yeah, and then in the book, remember they infiltrate. I thought it was Winterfell, maybe it's some other place, but she's somehow involved with Ramsay Bolton. And then Dan betrays her too.
They did in the show. They did. They went to come save her, save Theon.
Oh, that's right. Was
and
that?
He wouldn't come.
Oh, that was last season, right?
Yeah, that was last season.
Totally oh my god!
Like,
so they left him.
That's right. Yeah.
And they all got almost of them got killed.
That's right. She got away.
Yeah.
Huh.
Theon's a piece of shit.
That's right. And he's proved his loyalty. That was that whole conversation. And the point of that was that Ramsay owned him now.
Yeah.
God, that seems like so long ago.
Well, is Stannis just the worst character? If Stannis doesn't win over Winterfell after suffering his humiliating defeat at the Blackwater,
he's toast.
Is he just done as a character?
Yes.
Is there any coming back?
Nope.
That loses.
The only thing I can think of.
Well, he said himself that he either wins against the Boltons or he is defeated or he dies. Like, there's no middle ground for him.
And then what is her name?
Melisandre.
Yeah, she gives him that choice. Like, hey, I can make all this go away if you just, you know, give me your daughter's blood.
I don't get why.
It's a sacrifice.
Like, why she has to be sacrificed But they just leached Gendry.
And it didn't work.
Oh, it didn't?
No.
He lost.
Oh, wait. I thought the whole point of them leeching Gendry was just to kill Joffrey and Robb Stark.
Well.
And then somebody else. I can't remember. And his
brother.
Well, here. Yeah. Wait, was that?
Or no, it was Daenerys was the third one, I think. It's like all the false kings.
I think it was for the five kings. Daenerys isn't even in the equation for him.
Yeah, he's. Couldn't give less of a shit.
The War of the Five Kings is Greyjoy, Stannis, Rob, Joffrey, and then whatever the other Baratheon kid's name is.
Renly?
Tommen.
Renly. No, yeah, Renly.
Oh, Renly.
Yeah, they're the Five Kings. And Renly went out like a bitch right
in the
get-go. Balon falls off a cliff.
Off screen.
Yeah. which is amazing. Even George R. R. Martin didn't think he was worthy of a page.
But is he dead in the show? I mean, we've seen so little Greyjoys. No. I mean,
that's another thing. There's a couple of cool Greyjoys that aren't even getting any screen time. Instead, we get this gimpy fuck that ruins everything.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Like Victorian or whatever, he's the coolest one. He's not even on the show. He's one of the best characters in the whole goddamn series, and he's not even in the show.
Drowns people and brings them back.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's their culture, though.
Yeah, and I don't think we're gonna see the Griffin guy.
Who? Oh, the bodyguard guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they combined Jorah's character with him, I think, as far as the grayscale goes.
Yeah, but Griffin had someone with him who.
Yeah.
Could have really, really, really kicked this story in the balls and moved it forward. I don't think that guy's shown up.
Yeah.
And he seems to be a pretty important part of George R. R. Martin's plans.
Yes. Considering he makes it all the way from Essos to Westeros and starts taking over kingdoms, that's a little absurd that he's not in this show. What can you do?
Yeah. What about the Dornish? What about Bronn?
Okay, so he's a really good character.
In the Hard-On seat. I agree.
That was a good scene, though, with him in the jail cell.
Yeah.
I dug that. Those two are going to have some kind of connection before the end of this season.
He would, fall for a woman who tried to kill him.
Right, right? Doesn't that just totally fit his, his M.O.?
Yeah. I get why, in terms of the show, why she saved him. But in terms of, her actual character, I don't understand why she saved him.
Right. You're like, this is fake.
Because he was a good fighter, and that means he's a good lover.
Oh.
I don't know.
Is that how the Dornish work?
Yeah, so they work backwards.
Maybe she thought she'd be in more trouble if he ended up dying from...
Yeah. I mean, is this just going to be Ygritte and Jon Snow part two? I mean, it's the same. It appears to be the same story.
Yeah, except
they kind of have thing together.
Not a whiny baby.
But he's gonna have to kill her.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, I guess Jon Snow didn't kill Ygritte.
I don't think anything's gonna come of the Dornish storyline.
Yeah, that's bad.
Jaime's not gonna leave with Marcella. Like, she's not gonna leave with him.
She's in love.
Making love, making love, making
I mean, I guess he could kidnap her, but I don't think that he wants to deal with, his niece kicking and screaming all the way back to King's Landing. Or his daughter.
Yeah.
Especially his daughter niece.
And she's in love, and I think he can appreciate this forbidden fruit type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he wanted to do this, clandestine, middle-of-the-night, kidnapping. Everyone knows he's there now, so it's an act of... If all of a sudden he takes Marcella, it's basically, them declaring war on the Dornish.
And, Cersei would be okay with that, but I don't think Jaime wants to start a war.
Position now.
So, unless what's-his-face, Martell, changes his mind... And says, okay, you can take your niece back.
I don't think he'll ever accommodate a Lannister.
No. So, I don't know. I guess it all depends on him, what he wants to do about it, about the situation. Either he'll, send Jaime packing, or...
He's going to cut his head off.
No.
But I think it's in his best interest, though, not to start a war either. I mean, that's the whole thing with stopping the Sand Snakes, because he didn't, they wanted to kill Marcel, and he's like, no, I'm not going to start a war with the Lannisters.
But they could. Honestly, the Lannisters aren't in a good place right now.
No.
And everyone's defeated. Everyone's lost people in this war, except for the Dornish. They've lost one guy. Yeah. An important guy.
That everyone wants to go to war to over.
Yeah.
Well, now that the Tyrells look like their stake in King's Landing is moving up, you know, the Tyrells and the Dorns, they can push the Lannisters out completely.
Well, but now the Sparrows are in their way.
Yeah. Those goddamn Sparrows. Let's talk about these religious nutjobs. So the High Sparrow even put the Queen of Thorns in her place.
Yeah.
They are above and beyond the power of the king. And he seems to have a problem with that, but he's not really doing anything about it. Do you think now that his mama and his wife are both locked away that he's going to do something?
He'll try, but I think they've made it pretty clear that the Sparrows have like a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough.
I think they'll let Margaery out. I think they're going to, everything Cersei said, they're going to declare is like, you know, false.
I mean, Margaery will be cut a deal or something, and she'll get out, and then they'll probably use Margaery to seal the deal on Cersei.
And maybe Jaime.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
They don't have any actual proof of that. It's all hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a rumor like that doesn't get around unless there's some truth to it.
Yeah, like the gerbil story with
Richard Gere. That's true.
It is true. I've seen it.
Did you guys see the Game of Thrones musical? The thing with Coldplay for Red Nose Day?
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
I liked it when the actor who plays Theon and Ramsay see each other for the first time, and like the camera's all like, close on him, and it looks like they're going to like go to blows, and they give each other big old hugs. Like, hey, how have you been? Made me smile. They're people, too.
They're just playing characters, I guess.
Yeah, see? Randy, what do you think about Game of Thrones?
I enjoyed it. I like the fact that stuff actually kind of happened, but I couldn't help but remark there was like sex scene after sex scene after sex. There was a lot of sex in the episode.
Really? I don't remember it.
Sam had sex.
There's,
wow.
Yeah, there's the nudity in the prison.
Oh, but that's not sex. That's just sex, showing the good.
It's sexy.
There you go. She was cute.
Are you complaining?
No, I like. You know what's funny? I like it. The short hair. When a woman can pull off the short hair, it's hot. Not gonna lie.
I did appreciate though that they did that to a purpose. Because at first I was like, is she so in love with herself that she's like flashing brawn just to like get a kick out of it? But
she needed to get his blood flowing.
She
got him aroused.
She was trying to
circulate the poison throughout his body there.
And like got him to admit. Our first direwolf sighting of the season.
Oh, I know.
That was annoying to me.
It's like, oh yeah, these are a thing.
You completely forget that there's direwolves and dragons in this world because you never see either of them.
And ghosts on screen for 5 seconds.
Yeah, and then also like the fact that we haven't seen him in forever. And then why the fuck did... And then, like, John leaves him behind, but then doesn't say anything to Sam about leaving him behind. Like, I mean, I guess, like, if he had done that, then it would have given away the fact in the scene that Ghost was going to save Sam. But it just seemed like they were... Like, the writers were trying to write themselves out of a corner. Like, oh, well, we know Sam can't actually defend himself. It's not in his character to actually, like, kill somebody.
Right.
So we need to figure out a different way for him to get out of this situation. Oh, wait. Don't we have a direwolf flying around somewhere?
Well, in the books, you don't see a lot of the dragons because they're kept secret most of the time. But the direwolves are in a huge part of the books. I mean, like, Ghost is a huge part of who Jon Snow is. And, you know, obviously with Summer, with Bran, and whatever Rickon.
Shaggy Dog.
Shaggy Dog.
Shaggy Dog is Rickon's.
Perfect. They're such big characters, and I can't imagine it's that difficult to do on HBO, that they can't have a bigger part. I don't know if maybe it's just not safe or what the deal is, but I feel the absence of the dire wolf.
Clearly CGI.
Right. Well, they could just have a real wolf and we would, like, off in the distance, like, we just see ghosts walking around or something. I don't know. I feel like it would be easy to show that they have a presence on the show.
Yeah, or just have a regular white wolf attack, like, a midget, so it looks like he's bigger.
Wow.
I mean, like, that's what they did in, like, Lord of the Rings.
Right.
I mean...
But there was a way in the book to where the Stark children were tied to their wolves. And we got the sense of that with Bran a little bit, but part of the reason why Sansa felt so lost was because her wolf was killed, and all the other kids still had theirs, and she was just in a really bad place. And I think a lot of that could be tied to her not having her wolf.
Yeah, and then there's, we saw it with Bran already, but then doesn't Jon also?
Yeah.
Discover that he can share, like,
he's a warg.
Ghost's mind. Yeah. Like, he figures out that he's a warg too, but they haven't done that in the show. Or they can all do it.
Yeah, they can. I think they all can, and to agree.
Yeah, like, Arya has dreams about being a wolf, but she doesn't realize that she's actually seeing into Nymeria's mind.
Right.
Because she left Nymeria behind.
Yeah. They're running out of time. What was this? This episode 7 or episode 6?
That was
7.
So we got three left.
Yeah.
A lot of shit's got to happen in these three episodes.
Better. Nothing's happened this season.
Yeah. I mean, they've opened the fighting pits, and so I would assume they're going to have the Daenerys pay off. They, Jon Snow is on a boat, so I'm hoping they're going to have their payoff, hit the wall payoff. Those are the two biggies that I'm looking forward to.
I don't think you're going to get paid off. I think you're going to be more pissed.
I just want to see Daenerys' blonde head fly through the air as her dragon seeker. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think so. I think that's a tall order, dude.
That should be how the 7th book ends. And then Drogon eats Daenerys.
Yes.
The end.
So I think the part with Barriss and Selmy is, at least with the siege on Meereen, I think that's going to be handed over to Mr. Jorah Mormont. I think he's going to be the one that's wrestling dragons and stopping craziness from happening.
I'm on board. I like
Mormont. Yeah, and then he'll die of grayscale.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they'll save him. I don't know.
Maybe he'll hop on a dragon, and because he's all stony, it's too heavy for the dragon. Then it can't fly right, and then it crashes into the side of the pyramid.
We're losing altitude. We gotta dump some weight. The dragon will just bite off his arm, and he'll be cured.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, maybe dragon fire can stop it.
Yeah.
How did... What's her face get cured?
They had all the crazy maesters in the world with the super chains come up with some magical juice.
So it's curable.
At an early age. Well, not curable. It's I think it's more like
you can stop it.
Manageable. Yeah.
They can stop it spreading.
Oh, right. I mean, she's still gonna have
the face.
Like her face like that for the rest of her life. But her face. But she's not gonna die from it, right?
Off. Correct.
Right. She looks like the thing's daughter.
Did she
but,
just
you know.
Watch face off
her? No, head? I just like saying that. You said her face, and then so I just went off. I even did the motion in my head. You can't
you
not
don't
do
know
it.
Can see no. You.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for you, Justin. Is this season salvageable? If
no,
they give
it's
us
a
the
piece
payoffs
of
we
shit.
Want?
Nope. It's the worst season ever. It's this
worse
like
than
tied,
two?
It's tied with two. But I'm so bad. There's so much room for awesomeness that they're not capitalizing on that they can go fuck themselves.
At least the Red Wedding happened in 2.
That was three.
Oh, never mind.
2 had the Battle of Blackwater, which is one of the best episodes ever. Hands down.
Oh, well, at least they had that.
Yes.
Well, do you agree with Justin Amanda that the season can't be salvaged regardless of how they finish it?
I don't know. I mean, unless they do something completely different. Then I agree with Justin because what I know from the books, it's just Z's. It's just Z's from here on out.
Yeah. And even if, God forbid, these next three episodes are amazing, that means 33% of the show was good. That's a failing grade.
That'll get you in the Hall of Fame, man. You can get a hit one out of three times. You're in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
What about you, Randy? Since since you're coming in with virgin eyes and you have a different take on the season, what are your thoughts on the season thus far? Are they favorable or negative?
It doesn't feel like a whole lot has happened. I know stuff has, but it doesn't feel like it's been real action-packed. But I will say that they can still cram a lot of shit into three episodes. So I think the season itself is salvageable if we get a big event. We were spoiled last season when in episode two, Joffrey died. So, I mean, and that kind of put us on a high for the entire rest of the season.
We're just riding that the whole season. Like, oh, well, at least Joffrey's dead.
You know, we have some kind of benchmark, something to you know, a highlight, a landmark. But I think we'll still get something worthwhile out of this season.
Where would you rank this in the seasons? Do you say this is the worst of the five seasons so far?
I would totally agree with that so far.
Do you think
Say that it's bad, because it's not bad. It's just not as good as the other seasons.
Well, if they have massive payoffs in multiple storylines, do you think it could not be the worst on record? Think the season is salvageable, or is it the check already been written?
No, it's definitely salvageable. Let's reassess this conversation after all 10 episodes
in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Let's reconvene. And
then, yeah, and then we'll talk about how shitty it was, or oh my god, they totally made up for it by, you know, direwolf sex orgy.
Ooh, with dragons.
With dragons, yeah.
Animate that. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily been I'm fine character building, but I think they've gone too far. Too many episodes of character building to where the payoff's not going to be worth it. Like, I'm fine with like three or four set up the chess pieces for the rest of the season. But I mean, we're still setting up pieces. We haven't even started to, like, you know, take each other out. And so if there's only going to be three episodes of that, it seems a little bit of a letdown, especially with how much ground, since they seem dead set to cover the majority of book four and book five. And by doing that in one season, they're clearly cutting out a lot of the shit. And this is what's left.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how much worse it could be. This could have been two seasons.
I can't even think about that right now. I am so bored when I'm watching this show now. And it makes me sick, dude. Like, we wait a year for this, and that might be part of it. You know, you wait a year for it to come back, and you're excited, you get trailers, you get all these behind-the-scenes featurettes, and then it's just...
Yeah, the featurettes got me all jazzed again for this to come back, because I didn't care anymore after last season.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought me back, but then it's like,
I'm curious what the showrunners have to say about all this negative feedback, because we're not alone. You know, Facebook and Twitter, they blow up on Sunday nights of how bored people are of this show, and they're gonna have to answer for that.
Yeah, I went into this season knowing it was going to be my least favorite season, just because I knew what books they were going to be covering, and I'm not a particular fan of those books. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise, but having seen how they accelerated everything from 4 and 5, I'm a little surprised that they didn't hit more of the highlights faster.
There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Yeah. But on to bigger and better things. Randy, yeah. you got something for us?
I do, and this is actually coming hot off the heels of our Game of Thrones discussion. I have the 10 least historically accurate things about Game of Thrones. Now, obviously, Game of Thrones...
I was going to say, what are you talking about historically accurate?
In a fictitious world, but that fictitious world is pretty much based off of England in the Middle Ages. In fact, I've even seen it where people took a map of Westeros, and if you like flip it upside down, it pretty much looks like the British Isles and part of Europe and shit. Like, straight up just flipped upside down. So
clever.
But yeah.
Have a go.
So, without any further ado, here we go.
Let's do a little bit more.
All right, go for it.
I got nothing. I just
don't. You're going to do until you're blue in the face.
I just like doing. Blue.
Do all over the place.
It's what I do.
Do the do.
Yeah. Extreme.
Go for it, Randy. I'm done a-doing.
All right. Number 10. England wasn't full of drab stone. So basically, just about anywhere that you see in Westeros is just kind of old stone buildings and all very bleak, very drab looking. And of course, that's the world that George R.R. Martin has created. However, the real England in the Middle Ages would have been much more colorful and much more diverse in terms of how the buildings were constructed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to lift those stone blocks all high for big old castles.
Yeah. And I mean, seriously, so some of the stuff, like the big old the elevator at the wall, just a lot of the shit going on over there is just not incredibly realistic.
Yeah, like the one guy cranking the thing to lift up the people up a thousand feet. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm calling bullshit on this one.
All right, number 9. This one's kind of interesting. All the animals were tiny. So if you look at the size of a horse, of a typical horse from the Middle Ages, they would actually be a lot smaller than the horses of today. And that's because, somewhere within just the last couple hundred years, people became obsessed with pure breeding horses, introducing steroids into the scenario, and just getting them beefy and muscular and just bigger and bigger and bigger. If you were to take your average run-of-the-mill horse from Middle Ages, it'd probably be about 3/4 the size of a horse today. Mm. And not just horses. I mean, that's really a lot of just any kind of animal, especially the ones that we raise to slaughter and eat. Much bigger now than they were hundreds of years ago.
That's because they get pumped with chemicals.
Now, number 8, this one is kind of topical, considering how last week's episode ended. Number 8 says, women weren't totally helpless. Now, in Game of Thrones, people will be raping and killing, and there's really not much in the way of consequences. However, even back in the Middle Ages, rape was not socially acceptable. It was punishable by castration or, at times, death. So it wasn't as well accepted as it seems to be in George R.R. Martin's world. All right, number 7 on our list. The mountain and the viper duel would never have happened. Any kind of structured or organized arena or duel would generally try to pair two fighters of either similar skill or with similar weapons. Just like boxing events of today, you have your lightweights, your heavyweights, same thing with the way that any kind of proper structured fight would have been back in that day. So you wouldn't have a gigantic mountain of a man against a little skinny scrawny dude with a big ass sword versus a freaking spear. Theoretically, that wouldn't have happened
because it wouldn't make for a good show. But in this case, though, they have it's the trial by combat.
It is, yeah, and I understand the reasoning
behind
it.
They're electing to fight.
You wouldn't have necessarily seen that as commonplace in any way back in the day.
That's not what I heard.
You heard wrong, son.
I read it on a stone. It was written in stone. I've seen it.
Number 6 on the list. Not everyone was filthy. So pretty much anybody who isn't royalty in Game of Thrones pretty much has shit all over them. And it wasn't necessarily like that. In reality, people actually did take bathing fairly seriously, and if nothing else, even going down to a lake or a stream. But, I mean, there was so much funk going around that the littlest of infections could kill you, so people were pretty on top of staying as clean as they could back in those days. All right, number 5. It says Grey Worm would have been a terrible soldier. Now, on one hand, you're with the Unsullied, you're generating an entire army full of people immune or resistant to being kicked in the nuts. However, there's a certain amount of testosterone and sexual urges and whatnot that actually might help fuel a soldier in his own need to survive and just just give him that little extra something worth fighting for to make it through to the end.
The Unsullied are definitely too scrawny. I mean, that has to do with being castrated as children.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I find
to be pretty interesting. Because this isn't really just so much about Grey Worm as it is the Unsullied in general, which you pointed out very astutely, Amanda. So, moving on with our list. Number four. Dothraki swords simply wouldn't work. And they are based off of historically accurate swords that you would see in Egypt. Those cool curved blades. But the whole reason that those swords were designed was so that they could go around someone's shield and stab them in the liver or the kidneys, you know, right, give them right in the side, like a fucking rogue in World of Warcraft, just fucking kidney shot. However, when you are mounted, as the Dothraki commonly were, a curved sword like that would actually be more of a hindrance than a benefit. In fact, if you were to curve it around 180 degrees, it would be more of a useful weapon if you sharpen the other side of it. So that's actually kind of interesting. Speaking of sword fighting, brings us to number three. The sword fighting isn't realistic either. But then again, you can't really fault a show on that because movies and TV shows so often get that wrong. Number two on the list, the Lannisters aren't the richest people in Westeros. Sure, they have a shit ton of gold. Jaime's got a golden hand, but gold isn't necessarily the end-all be-all. In a feudal society, he who owns the most farmland generally tends to have more value than gold itself. So if you're sitting up in a castle, you own no land, you're growing no crops, you have no sustainability, all you have is money, well, the people who are growing all the crops can continue to raise the price until you have no more money. So,
well, we're seeing that a little bit with the Tyrells.
Exactly, and this article actually suggests that possibly the Tyrells would be more a little bit more well off than the Lannisters.
Yeah. I mean, the Lannisters basically make money, right? Their whole deal is that they had gold mines.
Yeah. It's like having a printing press.
Yeah, but the mines are drying up. And that's why they need to ally themselves with Tyrells.
And number one on the list, the gold crown scene from season one, the molten gold being poured on a man's head.
I've seen that, Randy.
Simply isn't realistic because the amount of heat that a small campfire like that could generate would not be hot enough to liquefy or to melt gold.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that, like,
how hardens all fast. Kill somebody
like that. Oh, I'm pretty sure it would kill somebody. But it also wouldn't harden fast enough to make a thunk like that when it hits the ground.
I don't know if whoever made this list is aware of the crazy powers that Dothraki have with their fires. I think they know a thing or two. They're nature boys, and they can maximize their pump with fire.
Yeah, by using their special sword, right?
Yes.
Their historically inaccurate sword.
That's just how they do.
Yeah.
Plus, it might have been one like a slow-burning pot. Like, it's been on that fire for a long time. I don't know.
They brought it in from the forge, and that fire is just keeping it hot enough to just stay melted.
Yes. Like, when you go to a sushi restaurant, and they have the little conveyor belts, and there's a little bitty candle underneath the plate.
Yeah, you know it didn't get cooked on that candle.
Same concept.
Yeah. All right, so that's our fun list this week.
That gold belt also wouldn't have melted that fast.
Gold is a very soft
metal. It melted really fast.
It is a very soft metal, but it would still take a certain heat, a certain temperature, you know?
That's why the Romans sucked so bad, because they made all their shit out of gold, and it's soft, and then it would break.
Cut right through it.
Yes. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
You learn it like in 7th grade. That the Romans sucked. Yeah, that's a good list.
Cool.
Fine list.
I'm bummed that I didn't make it into a game this week, because I think that's worked out so well lately. I couldn't find a good list that could translate well into being a game.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, I'll have something for you.
I got a game. Game of Thrones. Good show or not?
No.
That's the game?
Yeah. Day one.
I'm going to say overall, I would say it is.
Oh, that's a piece of shit.
He's bitter.
Yeah, I am.
What would you like to happen?
I would want events. I want people... I want people dying.
What I want is in the books, we're just not getting it. Yeah. Or we're going to get it and it's going to feel rushed. Like, I want the wall conclusion and the marine conclusion that's in the books.
I want more wolves.
Well, yeah, I definitely want more wolves.
I want more dragons.
I want more Arya.
No more Arya.
She got
too much already.
I like her too, Amanda.
She's the best.
I like her as well.
She's so boring.
You're boring.
He is.
It's true. Hey, and this is from someone who's totally backpedaled on Sansa. Like I'm actually interested in Sansa.
Oh man, I want her to cut off Ramsay's dick, dude.
Yeah. I bet she does.
Dick,
I bet
she gets her chance. Dude. Yeah, or bite it off or something. Just do something crazy. Hurt that man.
Oh, she gives
it to Theon.
Yeah,
she grabs something.
Yeah, she grabbed like
a knife or corkscrew or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. A corkscrew. Yeah, she should bore right into his urethra.
And twist.
And twist. And twist and twist and twist. Except the hole's already there, so it wouldn't really... I mean, I guess it'd still hurt, but...
Yeah, it would hurt a lot.
I'll try it out to make sure. We'll see. We'll add this to the realistic list of Randy's. We'll see how this goes.
That's dedication if you're willing to try that out.
No, that's me. I'm an all-or-nothing kind of guy.
Make sure you periscope it.
Oh, yeah. How much time do you have on the periscope? Is it until you hit stop?
Until you hit stop.
You got to hold down the record button, or can you just press record and go?
No, you just set up the broadcast.
Oh man, I do so much dumb shit. I don't need the world to see it.
I think we need to. I think they have to.
Oh, I like if I were recorded like the Truman Show, I think people would just be disappointed in me every moment of my life.
Everyone would just destroy their televisions. They're like, well, this is the end of our society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Anybody got anything else? Any shout outs? Any how you do's?
How you do's? How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I found my salesperson license.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I have a wicked Hank Hill tan.
PT?
Yeah, no. My face is super dark. Like, really, 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 really dark. And then,
like, the only time in your life where you actually looked Armenian?
Yes.
When you lived in SoCal?
And then you go just, like, a half an inch past my neck, and it's blinding white. It's, like, ruining the photo. Man, and you can only see it because I had a button-up. And it looked bad. Remember those old Autoland button-ups we had?
Yeah.
With the high collar?
Oh, my God.
Whew. It is intense.
That is hilarious.
Cold today. Hot tamale.
Any other shout outs other than Justin's salesman license?
It expired. That's sad. And then my signature looks like an 8-year-old did it.
I think all signatures look like an 8-year-old did it.
I know, it's bad. It doesn't even look like that. I don't even know where they got that signature. That was like the signature that's on my library card from when I was 5.
So maybe
it's they on did. The computer.
Maybe an 8-year-old did write it. 8-year-old you.
Yeah.
They lost your paperwork, and so, like, the sergeant just had, like, his, like, 8-year-old do it. Like, oh, spell Justin Cavender.
Sounds right. It's like lavender, but with a C.
Yeah, just do it! I can't spell lavender either.
Yeah, no one can. They think it's AR.
Hey, that's actually really good. I always have to, like, double-check in my phone while I was spelling your guys' name right.
Oh, man. When I had my emergency gallbladder surgery, the doctor was reading my name, and he's like, Justin Cavender? I'm like, correct. It's like lavender, but with a C. And then he started laughing. And then when I saw him for my follow-up, like 3 weeks later, he's like, Justin Cavender. It's like lavender. He totally remembered that.
I love
your memorable dude.
I know. I was quizzed.
Billy Quiz Boy.
Yeah. What other shouts we have? Connect Pal. That's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
The Geek Initiative. You go to www.connectpal.com/thegeekinitiative for our premium content. It's amazing. There you will see content from not only us, but freaking Sci-Fi Talk, The Full Bleed, The Seventh Matrix, and it's amazing. We're going to have a banner on our site that takes you right there, but Amanda has been gone for a long time. And so now
I have email.
No.
No, I don't have email.
Oh, they don't have that.
And you'll get the amazing podcast that Justin and Randy and I recorded a couple of days ago.
Yes, I will throw that up tonight.
Post haste.
It is called No edits, only idiots. And we say some horrible stuff.
We certainly do.
We're so bad.
I
didn't even remember what it was called when we started it. I'm like, what was the show called? I created it and I already forgot what it was. That's the thing. Edits can make you smart. So now you get to see how horrible and stupid we really are.
You know, we were drinking heavily.
Yes, I was flat out inebriated. It was nuts. Slurring.
Needless to say, it was a good time had by all.
Yes.
I defy you not to enjoy it.
I'm kind of scared. I'm just going to throw it up. Who cares? Consequences and repercussions, but that's...
Nobody said anything terribly offensive.
We talked about some stuff.
you might want to listen to it just in case before you upload.
But
you can't go against the name of the episode.
Gotta go up. Yep, it's gotta go up.
If it's bad, you just gotta throw it away.
Is it bad that I don't even remember half of what we talked about?
Yeah.
Were we drinking that much?
We didn't use, like, the N-word or something like that.
No. No, because we wouldn't. We don't.
That's not our...
It's not our forte.
Because we're people.
Yeah.
Human beings. Speaking of which, I watched Django the other day.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot how crazy violent that movie is.
It gets there real quick at the end.
Yeah, especially. I hadn't seen it since the theater, and then I watched it, like, 2 nights ago. Oh.
Yeah, that shootout at Candyland at the end, that's pretty graphic.
I like it, though.
And then Tarantino blows himself up.
Yeah. That's not good. No horses were harmed during the making of that movie.
All right, good for you. Good on them.
Yeah. All
right. Cool.
I think that's it, dude.
That's it. Make sure you listen to the podcast, the Geek Legacy Network. Got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen James. You know, the highly rated, acclaimed podcast that drops every Friday. They talk about video games, news, reviews, what they like, what they don't like. Usually you learn something. You walk away a better person.
I would skip to about the 20-minute mark because that's usually the time that I wake up and my monster kicks in.
Yeah,
I'm rambling fool the first 20 minutes of the show. And I might even say 30 goddamn times. Because
Like I was saying, face the podcast,
Yes, that's what Steven says. He says, like I said, and then I say for the first 20 minutes. And then I wake up, and then it's not so much. And my voice is like, and then it's
I'm doing great.
I love video games.
I am Cornholio.
Yeah, it's bad. I put my shirt over my head to walk around. Sometimes I take off my pants.
That's the best part. And then, of course, we got the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and the mighty Jeff himself. And that drops every other Friday where they talk about comics on their poll list. They got some fun interviews. And they usually have some witty repartee. And you gotta pick a side. You can't like them both. You have to like one or the other. And then you're like, I'm Team Jeff or I'm Team Tyler. And then one day we're going to have a fight to the death in like Thunderdome.
We have shirts.
Yeah, we should. I'm Team Tyler. I'm Team Jeff. Jerd proud. Yeah. But yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. That's really the best way to get in touch with us. You know, we love talking and interacting with you guys. That's at Geek Legacy. And, go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And don't do anything I wouldn't do.